football on Off the Ball.
If it is going to change, it's going to get worse. I do feel we're not there already. We are approaching a kind of a crisis point. Decided to become an international minnow.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby Daily on Off the Ball.
Welcome to Friday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, the teams are in for tomorrow's Investec Champions Cup semi-final at Croke Park. Connacht plundered the UK for yet another signing. And Billy Vonopola shares his version of an eventful night in Mallorca last weekend. First up today, Hugo Keenan and Gary Ringrose will play no part in Leinster's Investec Champions Cup semi-final with Northampton. Despite positive noises from the Leinster camp at the start of the week, Keenan's hip and Ringrose's shoulder will keep them out of the Croke Park showdown. Much as he did against La Rochelle, Ross Maloney comes in for Jason Jenkins in the second row, and Will Connors misses out entirely with Josh van der Fleer returning at open side flanker. So the Leinster team will be Kieran Frawley at full back, Jordan Larmer and James Lowe once again on the wings, Robbie Henshaw partnered in the centre by Jamie Osborne. It's a halfback pairing then of Ross Byrne and Jemison Gibson-Park. A front row of Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan and Tyke Furlong. Ross Maloney is alongside Joe McCarthy in the second row. Ryan Baird starts at blindside flanker, Josh van der Fleer on the open. And Leinster will be captained by a Mayo man at Croke Park with Caelan Doris at number 8. Leinster have gone with a 5-3 split on the bench with Ronan Kelleher, Cian Healy, Michael Alaalatoa, Jason Jenkins and Jack Conan covering the forwards. Luke McGrath, Harry Byrne and Jimmy O'Brien will cover the backs. Injury has forced Northampton into a couple of changes of their own, with Lewis Ludlam absent with a shoulder injury. Juarno Augustus will start at number 8. A head injury sustained in last week's Premiership defeat to Harlequins means Ollie Slatehome is replaced on the wing by James Ram. So Northampton will start with George Furbank at full back. James Ram and George Hendy are the wingers. Tommy Freeman and Fraser Dingwall are in the centre. Finn Smith and Alex Mitchell are their halfbacks. It's a front row of Alex Waller, Curtis Langdon and Trevor Davison. Alex Moon and Alex Coles are the second row partnership. Courtney Laws captains the Saints from blindside flanker. Sam Graham comes in on the open and Juarno Augustus will start at number 8. Their replacements tomorrow are Sam Matavesi, Emmanuel Iogun, Elliot Miller-Mills, Temo Maia-Nevanua, Angus Scott-Young, Tom Litchfield and Tom Seabrook. Leinster rested their frontline players, of course, for their recent URC defeats in South Africa, and their former centre, Brian O'Driscoll, says it can be tough for players to get back to the emotional pitch of battle after 3 weeks on the sidelines.
It hasn't worked in the past. Ultimately, they haven't won the URC, they haven't won Europe doing something similar, but you know, the alternative is going down to South Africa, tiring guys out and bringing them back, and all of that travel aspect, is that better prep? You would suggest it's not. Having 3 weeks to be able to plan for this just means that they have to deliver when the whistle goes. So there is a pressure on this Leinster team now, because we've been here before the last couple of seasons, but they just haven't managed to click at the really, really important time. Not at this stage, but at the next stage. But I fancy it'll be Northampton will cause them problems. Of that, there's no doubt. They're a very, very well-drilled team under Sam Vesti. Defensively, much more organised under Lee Radford. Phil Dowson has done a good job pulling it all together. But if you watch, you know, something that's synonymous with Leinster is that loop play, that Brumbies play, where it's 10-12 behind 13 to 10 looping around. I'd argue that Northampton Saints do it almost as well, if not, yeah, definitely as well as Leinster. Just shows that if you certain plays, if you do them well, it doesn't matter how well you defend them. You pick the right option, you're going to create trouble for the defense. And they've copped on to that and they're doing it extremely well. And they've got a very clear picture as to what they're trying to do to manipulate defenses. And so as a result of that, you're going to cause any team problems, including this Leinster defense.
The Croke Park factor has been obviously spoken about at length this week. And La Rochelle head coach Ronan O'Gara, who's had more experience than most of playing at HQ, says it could prove a tricky venue for the kickers to adjust to.
It's very different, obviously, to a rugby pitch, that's for certain. When you put a rugby pitch into Croke Park, you're blown away, because in terms of obviously being a kicker and using, I suppose, your visualisation before the game and on the Thursday and Friday when you get to kick there, it feels like you have a small little pitch in a massive stadium where, you know, I mean, on both sides of the pitch, you probably have a 20-yard distance from the rugby pitch to the GA touchlines. And behind the goal, it might be 40 metres. So it blew me away how different it was, because obviously in the Millennium Stadium, which would be at the same capacity, the stadium or the pitch is built into the stadium where you have maybe 3-5 meters of space between the touchline and the first row of seats. In Croke Park with the rugby pitch, it was very, very different. It took a lot of getting used to, because you, if you're using the, you mean the stand or the trimmings near the side of the pitch as a guidance for line kicks, you have the capacity to kick out the full by 25 metres, you know, but in another pitch, you don't ever have that, especially in big stadiums around the world. It's very, very different. But in terms of goal kicking, it was majestic because of your capacity, I suppose, to get sighters at such high levels behind the stadium, because it's the only stadium in Ireland where you have that full-on bowl effect capacity of the same height of design the whole way around. You know, in the Aviva at one end, I think at the far end it's a height of 15 seats maybe going back, and you have a conservatory effect for your visualization, which is difficult, while at the far end you have all the markings of the advertising hoardings, which for a kicker gives you great cues when you're in the heat of battle.
You can hear lots more from Ronan O'Gara, Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan in the lead up to tomorrow's match by becoming an Off the Ball member now. And we'll have live commentary of the game from Croke Park with Fiona Hayes joining Coon O'Flaherty. Connacht have made their third signing of the week, joining Piers O'Connor and Adam McBurney in Galway next year will be another former Ulster man, David O'Connor. Equally comfortable at lock or on the flanks, O'Connor has spent the past two seasons with Ealing Trailfinders. He's captained Ealing on a number of occasions, and his new Connacht head coach Pete Wilkins has described O'Connor as an intelligent set-piece operator who also delivers athleticism and work rate around the field. Finally, Billy Vunipola has opened up on his arrest in Majorca in the early hours of last Sunday morning. The England number 8 was tasered twice by police after causing a disturbance at a bar in Palma. He was fined €240 and handed a suspended 4-month prison sentence for resisting arrest. Vunipola shared his experience in an interview today with the Daily Mail.
Do you, at the point you were at of the night, do you remember being asked to leave, or is that just a blur of...
No, I don't. If I'm honest, I don't. I don't remember it. I don't remember getting tasered. And I think I'm going to walk out towards the door.
Right.
And as I go to walk out towards the door, that's when they get me from the back. Well, I've got two marks on me. I was talking to someone, I won't name his name, but they said that those with more muscle get more affected by it than those with a little bit more bedding. So in those terms, I guess I was lucky I had a bit more bedding, because I didn't feel it as much. And even when I was on the ground, they were shocked that I still had the energy to fight them. Mm. Well, not fight them, but resist, and that's essentially what I got done for. Really? I remember that bit where it was almost like a snippet of like, oh, and that was it. And then next thing you know, my head's in the ground, and yeah, that was it. You know, caused a huge amount of embarrassment on my part, but also I brought the spotlight on the club when they were trying to do something really nice, or they've done something really nice for us, and disappointed that I let what happened happen by drinking too much, and obviously very sorry as well. But I was getting to a stage where I was like, right, I've drank too much, I need to just calm down a little bit. And obviously it was too late by then, but my issue was just not taking my time with my drinking, and just like whatever drink I got, threw the ice out and just got stuck into it, and then realising too late that I need to calm down. So I was definitely confused. I remember thinking it was all a dream and I was going to wake up. I called my wife and told her and explained to me what happened. And I just remember saying to her, I'm so sorry, and just started crying when I called my wife.
Right.
I was like, this is the last thing you want to hear, but I'm okay. But they're going to hold me until 4 until I can try and clear myself from the situation. It'd be hard to describe myself off the back of this, but you know, I'm normally not like that. I'm not like that normally, and yeah, that's what's caused the most embarrassment and disappointment, is that I let that be what defines me, well, that's what other people define me on, but what's important for me is that I don't let it define who I am.
That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richard McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you on Monday. Till then, thanks for listening.